Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. This takes place shortly after Jesus' resurrection. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in on the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In every step, we are called to walk with purpose, to follow where Jesus leads, to serve, to give, to grow, to pour out our gifts and share our lives. And to see the world through the eyes of Jesus.
As many, honestly, probably all of you know, I hail from the great state of New Jersey. Thank you. Doesn't get a lot of credit. I am so proud of being from a state that claims such food phenomena as the bagel, the breakfast sandwich, and lest we not forget the 24-hour diner. So, as an adult, I realized just how much I took diners for granted. I thought that all restaurants serve breakfast 24 hours a day, and that all diner-ish looking establishments were open for 24 hours. So you can imagine my dismay, absolute dismay, when I recently discovered an eating establishment that claimed the title of diner, yet closed at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. It's not a diner. It's a cafe. False advertising. And my disappointment at this false advertisement was because for me, diners are not just a place where we can get 24-hour breakfast deliciousness, which is also true, but they also represent a gathering space for community. So many of my family's experiences revolve around food, and in particular, breakfast. Whether it is memories of picking up breakfast sandwiches from my parents when I got home from college, or sharing brunch at the Time to Eat Diner, yes, that is its name, the Time to Eat Diner, with my sister, brother-in-law, niece, and nephew, food is a central activity for my family. We love to share meals together, and when we cannot gather, which is often due to geographical separation, we love to share details about what we eat. My other sister, who lives in Germany, will post pictures of the homemade pasta that she and her husband make into our family group chat. And the most common weekend review question for my family is not what did you do, but what did you eat this weekend? Food is the medium by which we share about ourselves. It becomes a beacon for how we're doing, an opportunity to share deeper into what's going on in our lives. So given my love for food and gathering, it will become as no surprise to any of you today that I absolutely love this passage from John 21. It is a fun, quirky scripture in which we find the resurrected Jesus on the beach eating breakfast with his disciples. New Testament scholar and former Vanderbilt professor A.J. Levine emphasizes that this story is central to the gospel writer's demonstration of a resurrected Jesus, both fully divine and fully human. As AJ would tell us in class, he's not Jesus the friendly ghost. Jesus resurrects, and then he eats breakfast. Jesus is a fully human man who needs to eat like other humans. So to show that, it's written into the gospel that he eats breakfast. And though so many questions arise in the beginning of this scripture, like why were the disciples fishing in the first place, given everything that had just happened? And why is Peter naked when he swims to Jesus? I want to leave those questions for another sermon. Instead, I invite you to direct your attention to Jesus's breakfast on the beach. Imagine, the disciples have been awake all night. They're probably very tired. They haven't eaten. And until Jesus showed up right at daybreak, they hadn't caught anything. They were probably disappointed, coupled with their grief and bewilderment about Jesus's death and resurrection. And then Jesus appears again to them. They catch a whole lot of fish. The disciples arrive to the shore to a meal of fish and bread and a warm fire prepared by their friends who had just died and risen just a few weeks earlier. Can this really be happening? I'm sure they must have been saying to themselves. I mean, I would be, wouldn't you? They want to believe that this is Jesus, but they're still cautious and uncertain. So much has happened in just such a short amount of time. The Gospel of John is filled with stories of Jesus teaching the disciples how to be, how to act, and how to love. And now this is a story about a resurrected Jesus who is still teaching the disciples. Jesus is still preparing a table for them and actively inviting the disciples to take over the work. That is why Jesus asked the disciples to bring some of the fish they just caught to add to the meal. Just as in John 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and there were 12 baskets of bread left over, Jesus is teaching the disciples about God's abundance. He is teaching them how to widen their gathering, how to make their circle bigger once he is no longer with them in body. Hospitality is not just about gathering around a table, and it does not always involve food. I recognize that our relationships with food can be complicated, filled with painful memories and trauma, such as we have seen this week with the devastation of Western, North, and South Carolina. So my focus is for us to consider hospitality as an active enterprise in which we are all still learning and teaching each other, growing into deeper versions of who God is calling us to be. This passage shows us that even after the resurrection, even when the disciples probably should believe by now, they are still learning. And of course they are, because as humans, we are always still figuring it out. The good news today is that figuring it out is okay. This is a story of grace in which Jesus is inviting us to rest and replenish ourselves together and is teaching us how to care for others in turn. Just as this is the third time Jesus appears to the disciples, the passage ends with Jesus asking Peter a series of three questions that shifts his focus from his love for Jesus to the mission ahead. "Do you love me?" Jesus asked Peter three times. And when Peter continues to respond, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my lambs." And yes, it can be easy to get lost in this repeated questioning. Why does Jesus keep asking him? But remember, Jesus just fed his disciples. This questioning summarizes the passage. Jesus' call to the disciples to continue being open to belief, to grace, to learning. God is never done with God's work with us and for us. Even after we claim to believe, and even and especially when we're not quite sure that we do believe, God will continue to show up and teach us. And that is just what happens in this passage. A resurrected Jesus shows up and tells us to keep learning, to keep being open to what we don't know yet, and to trust that we are loved and called by God, even in our vulnerability. To me, this passage comes down to adopting a posture of lifelong learning. A former pastor and mentor helped me to believe that lifelong learning is a posture of faith. Lifelong learning claims our belief that there is always more that we can absorb, that we can take in from the people around us, that the divine will show up and move us deeper into belief, into bending farther towards the love, justice, and mercy of Micah 6:8. As God shifts and challenges and moves our perspective. And that is just what happens here in John 21. What starts as a shaky enterprise for the disciples in the early days after the resurrection ends up with Jesus showing the disciples how to gather in faith and to love before being sent out to tend to God's people. And so this morning, my question is, how and where is God inviting you, inviting each of us to gather and learn and grow in community? Is it at work? Is it at choir practice? Maybe with your children or grandchildren, maybe on a walk, maybe a dog park. Wherever it is, trust that our resurrected God is always showing up to teach us more, and that each of us are invited to spread God's love, an invitation for grace farther and wider. On my first Maundy Thursday in San Diego in April 2021, when Tara and I were still geographically separated from one another, so she was still in Marin County serving a church there, and I was here already stationed with the Navy, I was invited by a fellow female Navy chaplain to attend a dinner and mass at an intentional living community of Sisters of Mercy and Franciscan Sisters of Adoration. The space was a former convent, and each of the nuns living there felt called to work in San Diego, or the greater San Diego area. The sisters pitched in to rent this space together, and they now worked at their individual ministries during the day while gathering daily to eat dinner together and pray together and to worship around the corner at the Jesuit-led Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in Barrio Logan. I tentatively accepted my friend's invitation. I felt very vulnerable, being in a new space and sharing a meal with people I did not know. I actually had just met the person who invited me 3 days earlier. So this was a pretty vulnerable exercise. But the evening was filled with such warmth and joy and love, and my spirit yearned for connection, especially going into Holy Week. The food was delightful and warm and giving, life-giving, and the prayer before the meal brought me to tears. And then we walked over together to the Maundy Thursday Mass, where we remembered the very meal that we will celebrate in just a few minutes, and that is being celebrated around the world today. At that time, during my own time of transition, having just arrived at my first duty station just a few months before, I could feel God's love moving that evening, inviting me to pull up a chair and rest alongside these women, to rest and to find rest in God's love and community. By leaning towards the curiosity about what God could be trying to teach me, I was able to witness a sacred meal that honestly still fills my spirit today. When have you experienced your own breakfast on the beach with Jesus? What is God teaching you now in this chapter of your life? You might feel like the disciples in the boat right now, focused on finding the fish, gotta find the fish, right? And peering through the haze of the early morning to see if you recognize a familiar face on shore. Or maybe you're out feeding God's sheep right now, and you're starting to realize how hungry and tired you are yourself. This is a story of good news. A story about God's abundance and grace and care. And on this World Communion Sunday, we are all invited to gather and rest and eat. And the people we find when we rest will help prepare us to do what God is calling us to do in the world. So in just a few moments, as we shift our gaze to the communion table, let us imagine that we're all going to sit down and enjoy some breakfast together. The table is set, the preparations are made, and abundance awaits. So may we all be the lifelong learners of faith that God is calling us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.